And good Saturday morning, everyone. And for the second straight weekend, get ready for a deep freeze along the Gulf Coast area. Now, this time, no ice, but small craft advisory kind of weekend. Going to be some howling winds out there. Well, did you get out in it, or do you plan to do it this weekend? What you going to be doing? Maybe some ice fishing. Well, we got some hunting seasons that are getting ready to wrap up, the Louisiana East Zone for duck season. Still some deer season. Some of the areas for archery will be closing today. Still got a couple with primitive weapons and some rut gun hunting over there in Alabama. And by the way, did you get a chance to take Robbie Campo's advice and check out the potential redfish jubilee on the banks of Bayou Lutre? Well, if you didn't, you might get a chance to do it this morning. Conditions are right. We got some freezing temperatures. We've got some low tides. Those fish stack up in there. And some other spots, too. I know over there in the western part of the state, they've also got some areas around some of the wildlife refuges where you can drive back there and fish right off the bank into some of those deeper canals. Well, we also got a chance, a rare opportunity, to catch some non-native fish, the rainbow trout in Louisiana. We got stockings going on all over the state. They've been taking place. We'll tell you where you might be able to find them, catch them, and there is no boat required. The red snapper quota we gave you has been amended, the one for this coming year. It's not a big change. We'll fill you in on exactly how many pounds of snapper we'll be allowed to catch in Louisiana. We'll be talking, as we normally do, with our regular field reporters, see how they and you can find and catch deep freeze fish in this weather. Those of you who are expecting some talk about the minimalist challenge for the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, that has been postponed. We'll talk to Brendan Bayard and give you the new date when that is set. Just not the right conditions to hold a kayak tournament like that this weekend. Well, did you know there's a minimum size caliber to legally hunt deer? Well, one guy either didn't care or didn't know, but it didn't much matter because he did during illegal hours, and that's why he's going to be honored as today's bad boy of the outdoors. And I'm going to tell you how you can cash in on a $6,000 reward for information regarding a future bad boy of the outdoors. So we'll tell you about that. Also, Bayou Wild TV, coming to a South Mississippi station near you. We welcome in an affiliate. They'll be joining us next weekend. And we also have some chilly marine forecasts out there for you. Small craft advisors up for the whole weekend. North winds offshore 25 to 35, 5 to 8-foot seas. You don't want to be anywhere near that. On the interior lakes and bays, 20 to 25 knots, you're going to be limited to fishing interior canals. No open waters for today or tomorrow because those winds will switch around to the west. 15 to 25 knots offshore, 3 to 5-foot seas, and 15 to 20 knots on the interior lakes and bays. And with these cold temperatures, that is the recipe for hypothermia. You do not want to be getting wet or getting caught in any of that type of stuff. So be very careful if you're headed out to some of the protected waters. Average tide range 1.5. That combined with those stiff winds, when you get your low tide in your area with those winds, you're going to see mudflats, stumps, maybe some stuff you haven't seen in years. So it's going to be a tough situation if you're going to get out there and fish. For the hunters, wrapping up the east zone of the duck season, well, it's kind of the weather you want, but just stay on the interior. Don't get yourself in trouble. Got the Biloxi Boat Show coming up next weekend. We're going to be talking to you about that and a whole lot of other stuff that you and I just enjoy talking about. We do it each and every Saturday morning, and we do it right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And let's head down there now to Campo's Marina in Shell Beach, and we talked to Robbie Campo. And Robbie, boy, what a rough weekend this is going to be for somebody trying to catch a fish. How is Bayou Lutre? Did it produce last weekend with the cold temperatures and getting a redfish in there?
No, Don, it did not. And, you know, and it wasn't from a lack of not trying. People were there every day this weekend trying. But, you know, what I could tell you is, you know, and my phone is just nonstop ringing with this. I don't think it's going to happen today. The water is too high. Tomorrow is probably going to be your best bet. You know, we have a new moon coming around, so you know, you got a pretty good tide range. So I don't believe that it's going to happen today. Tomorrow is probably going to be your best bet. And the reason I say that is because yesterday, you know, we hit 61 degrees down here, and, you know, and there was a few trout caught yesterday. So, you know, when I don't think the water temperatures are going to drop that quick. And, you know, when people ask me about these, you know, this redfish jubilee, and I always tell them, I said, look, if it doesn't happen, it's not the end of the world, guys, because, you know, when that water gets in that low 40s, you know, and, you know, the high 30s and low 40s is when that, you know, jubilee usually takes place. I said, you know, you're subject to lose some trout, and, you know, they start dying if the temperatures get any lower than that. I said, so if it doesn't happen, it's not the end of the world. So don't freak out because it's not going to happen. So, and I would rather it not happen than to lose a bunch of fish. You know what I'm saying? So,
oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, that's just me. You know what I mean? But I know people are just sitting there patiently waiting and they think it's going to happen. But I think your best bet is tomorrow morning, Don. I really do. It's, you know, if you look at the way the weather is down here right now, it's 35 degrees. It's cold, but it's not, you know, it's 35 degrees will do it. It's just got to have the water extremely, extremely low. And we had that all week, Don. I saw stuff on the flats I haven't seen since I was a kid. I heard you talking about that earlier, just a few minutes ago. And, look, we had some gust of wind here, just because I've been here since 4:30. That was 29 miles an hour, you know, 29.6. Yeah. So it wind's pumping pretty good. So if you're going to try to go fishing today, I would advise against that. And you're going to have a falling tide all day. It's just not worth going out there and getting yourself in any kind of trouble, you know, and then you have to have somebody else come rescue you or whatever, and you put somebody else's life in danger when you have to do that. So, but one thing I can tell you is if you do not have your CETO membership renewed, this is the time to do it. Because, you know, these guys could save your life, especially in these kind of conditions. So get that done. And then, last week we had Coast Guard picking up people who were duck hunting on the last weekend. They got stuck out in that Biloxi Marsh. You don't want to have to go. We don't have to put these guys out there in a helicopter trying to come get you because you got stuck. So, you know, there's better days to do this stuff on. So, you know. Let's be smart about this.
Yeah, and God bless those CETO captains that have to get out there and do that stuff. You know, that's their job. That's their living. Robbie, you know, one thing, we talked about this before. You know, when it used to be when you had these fronts come through in low tide conditions and small craft advisories, it was kind of a delayed action for the water to get out of the marshes and expose all those mud flats. We don't have the coast that we used to have. So not only do we protect that wetlands protect storm surge from coming in, it accelerates it going out when you don't have it, because it also backed it up and the water had to find its way through the little traverses before it got to the main bayous and then into the bays. But that doesn't happen anymore. That's why we get these extremely low tides and in low water and dangerous situations in that marsh, because we don't have the marsh we used to.
You know, Don, you're exactly correct. I mean, because I've seen places, you know, I've watched this place erode since I'm a kid, right? So, you know, you go, I have to get in a boat. I have to go do this a couple times a year and just go ride through the main spots, you know what I mean, just to go take a ride, just to look at things and be familiar with it. So, you know, you say, oh, well, that island's gone or this island's gone. And you know, I mean, it this thing changes weekly out there, you know. So, and you're right. I mean, this water used to fall. It would take days to get out of here. Now, when it goes, it just goes. And listen, let me tell you, when it comes back up on the east wind, it comes up just as fast as it does when it gets out of here. So it's, you know, when you got a storm coming or something around here, you better have your stuff up and get out of here while you can. You know, if they say that thing's coming, and when it gets to Jamaica, buddy, you better have everything picked up, because you'll have water on the Florissant Highway before you know it. So the
exactly
water comes
right
up just as fast as it flies out of here. So, you know, you got to keep that in mind too.
Well, it's a changing environment. You can still have good days fishing, but you got to make adjustments because the coast has adjusted, and what used to be good spots and productive spots become open water, and you just got to find the new ones and deal with the conditions at the time, and just be ready for change because it's eventually going to be changing, like you say, almost on a weekly and monthly basis. Well, Robbie, anything else before you go, buddy?
Well, like I say, Don, you know, this time of the year, you know, people's asking, what can you do to be ready for spring? Go get your boat serviced right now. Go take it to wherever your local, wherever you go get your boat serviced and have it serviced and get your oils changed, your little unit oils changed, check your hubs and your bearings and your tires and check everything and make your batteries and make sure your boat is in tip-top shape now. So when, you know, spring's right around the corner, Don, so when it, you know, when spring gets here, you're not the guy that's caught, you know, 3 weeks in line to get your boat looked at. So everybody waits till the last minute. And I know people are trying to bag that last buck. Oh, you know, the Alabama and, you know, mid-Mississippi's rut's in full swing right now. So, but as soon as this is over, get your boats and get them serviced. So, you know, you could be ready when spring gets here because, you know, like I said, a couple more months, it's going to be here before you know it. You know, we're already in February. Tomorrow starts February. So, I mean, hey, you know, you got to get it while you can get it. And, look, they got a lot of boat dealers that do service work are sitting there twiddling their thumbs right now because a lot of things are slow. So, go get your boat fixed.
Yeah, they got specials on it, too, and you can actually save some money by getting it done early. Robbie, thanks for the report, as always, and we'll check in with you again next week, my friend. Have a good one.
Yes, sir. Talk to you later, buddy. Bye-bye.
There he goes, Robbie Campo at Shell Beach. All right, we got some texts coming in. If you want to shoot us one, it's 504-260-1870. Questions, comments, tell us about your trip, what you got going on this weekend. We love to hear from our listeners, and that's how to do it, 504-260-1870. We're back with those right after this time out. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, let's get to our text messages. And, boy, I really love this one. It says, hi, I'm granddaughter number one. She's number one. Her brother Dax and she are drinking coffee with Pawpaw Worm, listening to the show. I like your show. Oh, Mama is here, too. I asked Papa to take us fishing, but he said it's too cold, so he's going to make us pancakes. Thanks. That's a great option. Enjoy those pancakes. He's right. It is too cold to go fishing. And by the way, she says she forgot to tell us her name. It's Riley, and she's almost 9 years old. Bye. Thank you, Riley. You're going to be added to our list of loyal listeners that we've got. It's getting pretty extensive, too, by the way. All right, we also have Dr. Dan checking in. He wanted to know what Robbie thinks about the Jubilee, what conditions make an area best. Well, if you were tuned in, he explained that in detail already. And I don't know that it's going to happen because, yeah, the water did warm up, and it's going to take a hard fall, but don't know if it'll be hard enough to get those fish stacked up in there. But, hey, it's worth trying. All right, we got the backstrap stacker in Mobile checking in. He said the bucks are still running hard, but he and the little backstrap have both gotten their 3 bucks for the season. Can't complain about that. They've got 11 days to go for their deer season, and, yeah, some of that is prime time over there. And he wishes good luck to all the hunters out there. It's going to be a cold one, that's for sure. And we got old Wingbone. He's staying warm. It's 26 degrees where he's listening to us in Wilmer, Alabama. The Steel Man, taking it easy in Covington today. Finished up the duck season on Monday with a good public land hunt in the East Zone. Was hunting with the Big Burr. They had lots of teal and whistlers, and they'll report the season numbers for us next weekend. Happy hunting. Well, yeah, we still got some rabbit. This is prime time for rabbit hunting, especially these cold days. Snipe season's open the whole month of February if you like to chase those little guys. Also squirrel. And today is the last day of the Louisiana woodcock season, which I will be participating in as soon as I get off this radio station. All right, we also have, our Ohio listener says, a chilly good morning from Ohio. It is 10 degrees here. Feels downright balmy after a week of minus and zero. My old tree actually split in the cold, still hunting those frozen pipes and feeding the squirrels. Yeah, I heard about exploding trees. The sap in it froze just like a water in a pipe would burst the trees and actually, not really a big explosion, but would split them and break them open. All right, we got Butch. He's at the Wycloski Bridge. He's wondering if anyone's going to be fishing off the bank in Bayou Lutre. He's on the way to work. People, please stay. Legalize or watch. Stay legal. Yeah, we warned you about that. You know, you always stay legal, but particularly in situations where fish are stacked up and plentiful, the opportunity to maybe keep more fish than you should is there, and you got to resist it. All right, here's one that says freshwater is the only thing to stop saltwater intrusion. Coastal Restoration Authority killed that. I helped them to do it, too. Yeah, I helped them kill it. It was all me. This guy on a radio station just killed the whole coastal restoration project. I guess I got the blame for that. All right, let me get to, I got to tell you about all of these places where you can catch rainbow trout. But before I do that, I want to get to the amended red snapper quota. We gave you the figures out of Department of Wildlife and Fishery a couple weeks ago. They were a little bit inaccurate. They've got the accurate amended quota now. We had a quota of 894,955 pounds. And because we went over 52,148, the new quota will be for 2026, 882,439. So it's a few thousand pounds less spread out over the season. You won't even notice it, Harley. And we had a great red snapper season in Louisiana. We had it open for 200 days. We had no storms or hurricanes. So May 1st through November the 16th, you know, that was a pretty long season for red snapper. This year, if you're interested in getting out and getting in on the red snapper, they're going to be setting the dates at a future Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries Commission meeting. And hopefully it will open about the same day. I like to open it in May, right around the summertime, and then extend it as long as the fish are there and the quota hadn't been reached. And it really went late into mid-November. And hopefully we'll have a good, long, productive season again in 2026 for the red snapper. All right, if you like to catch rainbow trout, maybe you've never caught one, well, you got a chance to do it. There are probably 15 places in Louisiana that have been freshly stocked with hungry rainbow trout that bite in cold weather. They are a cold weather species. That's why they don't live here permanently. And now is an opportunity to catch them. When I come back, I'll give you a list of the places you will find them and maybe a couple tips on how to catch them. We'll be right back to do it. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, let's get to some of our text messages. We got Roland Cortez, hunting guide, duck hunting, goose hunting guide extraordinaire. Guy's a great speckle belly caller. He hunts with the Dave's Bayou crew in North Louisiana. Today is the last day of the season. You can use some rest, Roland. I know about this time of the year, guides who do that day in, day out, you got to be a little worn out. But he said it's been a great one, and they're going to go out with a bang, and they'll have a recap for us next week. I got to tell you, most places in Louisiana, you would have expected some really good duck and goose hunting this year with all these Arctic fronts that we had late in the season. We didn't have any storms. We had good submerged aquatic vegetation. And most people in Louisiana will tell you it wasn't much of a season. There was some high points, a lot of teal. Now we got the Mexican whistlers here. But for the most part, the bigger ducks did not show up. But then every now and then, there's going to be some place that does well. And I'm glad to hear that Dave's Bayou up there in North Louisiana had a really good season. I know they killed some pintails and even killed some of those endangered mallards that we don't hardly see anymore in South Louisiana. All right, let's see. We got David Hubble checking in from Mobile, Alabama. He says, looks like it's a good day to stay inside and make a batch or two of pepper jelly. Yeah, I think you're right on that. And David, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to tell you, we're going to see you at the Boucheret up at John Foltz's place next weekend. We'll be there on Saturday, and we're going to have the Bayou Wild crew will be out there, so it'll be good to see you and all the folks, John Foltz and his crew that shows up for that great event. And I'm going to have some details coming up on it right after we pause these 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. If you're not familiar with Chef John Foltz, Boucheret, well, it's going to be next Saturday. Starts early, 8 a.m., White Oak Estate and Gardens. You can Google it and find it. It's in Baton Rouge. They have a traditional Cajun whole hog butchering and cooking event, and you can buy your tickets at Eventbrite. This event celebrates Cajun heritage. Goes back years on how to use every part of the hog during this time of the year, producing items like boudin, hoghead cheese, various stews, and there's a lot of other exotic game dishes out there. And there's some informational little seminars that are given too. It's a great day, and I hope to see you out there. It's at White Oak Estate and Gardens. Check it out. It begins at 8, and I'd suggest get those tickets early at Eventbrite for the Boucherie, Boucherie. And if you want to get some more specifics, go back to our Bayou Wild TV webpage and go back to, I forget how many years ago it was now, Bayou Wild's been on like almost 9 years, and you can find a couple shows we did from the Boucherie. All right, want to catch some rainbow trout? Well, this is the only time of the year you can do it. There are some areas that are stocked. These areas meet certain criteria. There's parking, there's clean banks. There's restroom facilities, even facilities where it's available for the handicapped. And if it meets that, they come out there, they open up the tank, and they fill it full of some hungry rainbow trout. And my experience is these fish begin biting as soon as they hit the water. So there's no time for them to adjust. I mean, you can start catching them. And here's the listing of the places. Joe Brown Park in New Orleans. If you want to catch them in Baton Rouge, it's the Breck Park on Burbank. In Walker, the Sydney Hutchinson Park, Zamari Park in Hammond, Bayou Country Sports Park in Houma, Southside Regional Park, it's also called Farbacher Field, that's in Youngsville, the I-10 Park, and this is a nice place, in Jennings, Oil and Gas Park, the Purple Heart Memorial Park in Ragley, Park Natchitoches in Natchitoches, Louisiana, Forts Bulow and Randolph up in Pineville, Caroli Park in West Monroe, Elmore D. Mayfield Park in Ruston, Grambling City Park in Grambling, Turner's Pond in Minden, and up the Catahoula Ranger District in the Kasachee Forest, Stewart Lake. All of those areas have been stocked with hungry rainbow trout. Now, how do you catch a rainbow trout? You can use, if you like to use bait, you can use live little wriggler worms under cork. You can put corn on a small, you want to use very small hook and light tackle, light line. You can get away with 10-pound test or even less for rainbow trout. And the little MEPS spinners with the hairs on them. And if you're a fly fisherman, you can also catch them on some of those hairy flies. So it's a great fish for eating. The flesh is delicious. They're not real big fish. But you can fillet them, but most people would cook them whole and just kind of eat around the bones because they're a little bit on the bony side as far as fish go. But this is a really good opportunity, and I hope you catch them because once those waters warm up in these ponds, the fish die. They can't tolerate warm temperatures. That's why we don't have them here year-round, and this is a great opportunity. Again, if you want to get some tips and see how it's done and see all about the rainbow trout, go to our Bayou Wild TV. Tell you what, on a cold weekend like this, man, you can binge out on Bayou Wild TV shows. We've got 8 years of, I think we reached over 200 episodes, and it varies everything from duck hunting to exotic game to Alaska Cajun invasions to catching rainbow trout in ponds, squirrel hunting, taking out LSU athletes with our Tigers in the Wild episodes, Chef John Foltz cooking, Uncle Larry cooking, if you want to get some tips. David Hubble, we got some features we shot with him cooking too. So check it out. It might be a good weekend to catch up on any Bayou Wild TV episodes you missed. This week, Bayou Wild's going to feature Gavin Guidry, LSU baseball pitcher, and Matty McKee, who is a softball player. We took them out to Tarpon Tails Lodge for some open water duck hunting and some interior marsh fishing. So hope you'll enjoy that. Check it all out, BayouWildTV.com. And when I come back, I'm going to tell you Mississippi listeners where you will be able to watch Bayou Wild TV beginning next weekend. We'll tell you about that. Also, lots more to come. Got more fishing reports with our field reporters and text from our listeners. It's on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's get back to our text messages. We got this one coming in. It says, Don, I remember back in the 70s, we used to fish in this cold weather out of Happy Jack. I believe it was called the Texaco Canal off Grand Bayou up against the levee. Do you remember this? This is from Bedico Tommy, one of our regular listeners. Yeah, I do remember that. It was the Texaco Canal, and there's a lot of places, not just Bayou Lutre and the places over in southwest Louisiana. Highway 1, that entire stretch going down to Grand Isle, that's a little deeper water right on the side out of the road. Just got to be careful there because of the traffic that's flying by right close to you. And also down Highway 23, there's some spots on the other side of the levee. You can fish it from the bank and stay out of the wind if you get on that downside of the levee. So look for those opportunities if you got to go fishing this weekend. Or do the freshwater thing and get some of those rainbow trout. That's an easy thing. And if you get cold, you can go warm up in the truck every few minutes. All right, here's one. Taft Klein, Peter, in Troy. They're going to Gross Tate. One more hunt with the 35-wheeling. Yeah, that's one of the areas that's still got the primitive weapon season going on. Good luck to you, and boy, stay warm. You know, I'm going to be woodcock hunting in this weather. And when you're walking and constantly moving, it's like when you watch a football game in zero-degree weather. The guys are out there in short sleeves. When you're expending that kind of energy, you don't feel the cold. But, boy, when you're sitting on a deer stand, particularly an open ladder stand, or even in a box if you don't have a heater, man, when you're just not moving like that, it can get extremely cold. So make sure you stay warm and comfortable. Remember, it's supposed to be fun when we do all this stuff. All right, Bayou Wild's going to see you next week, David. And by the way, Bayou Wild is going to be coming to South Louisiana starting next Saturday and Sunday on Ocean 11, WXVO-TV, in Biloxi, Mississippi. Now, each Saturday, it's going to follow a guy people know about, Justin Wilson's show, and that's going to be at 12 noon on Saturdays. It'll lead in, we'll be on right there at 12:30. So on Sunday, it will be on at 6 p.m. Now, that next Sunday, it's going to be on from 6 p.m. to 6:30, so it's a perfect lead-in to some show called the Super Bowl, and maybe there's a few people that watch that. And right before the Super Bowl, catch Bayou Wild TV. And again, this week we got a couple of LSU Tigers baseball and softball players, Gavin Guidry and Maddie McKee. Check it out. It's at Tarpon Tales Lodge in great place over there on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi. BayouWildTV.com. When you go there, you'll see a listing of all the stations, the affiliate stations that carry the show. And you can also check out on YouTube. You can watch it on YouTube if you can't get it anywhere else. And also you get a whole list of all the previous shows. You can go back and kind of binge out on it. All right, here's some more. We've got, Don, I hope you're staying warm this weekend. I'm in Clark County, Alabama. It's 27 with a wind chill of 16. The deer will be alone because I'm not going out there this morning. Stay safe and warm. That's from our friend and regular listener, the Baldwin County Teacher. And we got this one listening from eastern North Carolina, waiting on the snow hurricane to hit. Prayers are welcome. Yeah, well, you'll get through it. But, yeah, they call that a nor'easter or something like that, and it's way down in North Carolina. So hopefully you keep your power going and just hunker down, as we say here, when the hurricanes are coming, whatever that means. Let's see. There's a Texaco Canal in Lafitte. That's right. The canal over there was the Jefferson Lake Canal. That's right. Yeah, Texaco is still over there in Lafitte. Jefferson Lake Canal is the one there, Happy Jack, where the redfish stack up behind the levee. Here's one that says, I've been a long season. I found that the Roadrunner jigs with a little spinner on them work well for the rainbow trout in the stock pond. The rooster tail works very well also. That's from Old Man Sam. Sam, which one of those ponds did you fish? Did you fish the one in Zamari Park? I've never fished the rainbows there. I fished them at Breck and in Jennings. But in Zamari, well, I had a great day catching those channel cats, and that'll be coming too this spring. When the water warms up, they stock those beautiful. In fact, I pulled some out of the freezer this week, and I did some fried catfish. And I used Louisiana Fish Fry. They have an extra crispy chicken batter. It's made for fried chicken. And I used it on the catfish. And, boy, if you like your fish nice and crispy, boy, that's the one to use. Louisiana Fish Fry's extra crispy batter. They've got a lot of new products out, by the way. If you haven't checked out the counter for the Louisiana Fish Fry, stop by their counter and check it out. You're going to see an awful lot of really good items. All right, yeah, that works well for those rainbow trout. Some people, you can chum it up or actually put little corn, the soft corn kernels, on a tiny hook and use that, or the wriggler worms. Fly fishermen can catch them too. In fact, Sarah Giles was working her magic with the fly rod at the park at Breck, and you can see her in one of those Bayou Wild TV episodes where we caught some rainbow trout. All right, 504-260-1870. That's our text line. Put it to good use. A little bit later on, we're going to tell you how you can cash in. Can you use $6,000 cash? Well, if you've got information leading to the killing of all things, a bald eagle in Louisiana, you can remain completely anonymous. That's how they do it. Or you can tell them your name if you're proud, want to do it, and you could collect $6,000 reward money if you provide information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person responsible for killing a bald eagle back in, it was last month is when it took place. We'll give you the details of where it was, and, you know, somebody probably knows, and somebody that's listening to this show may know who that is, and if you want to cash in on the $6,000 and do the right thing for conservation, well, we'll tell you how to do that coming up in just a little while. But right after this time out, we're going to talk to Captain Darrell Carpenter and find out what some options might be for fishing down and around the Grand Isle area during these deep freeze kind of days. We're back with Darrell right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's check in with Captain Darrell Carpenter during these deep freeze days and find out if there's any possibility to do any fishing at all down the Highway 1 corridor. Captain Darrell, what's going on down there today?
Well, you know, Don, I was listening to you read the text messages, and Riley's grandpa's got it just about right. A good stack of warm pancakes right now would do good.
Yeah, with some good Steen's cane syrup on them, maybe, and lots of butter. Boy, that sounds good.
Yes, indeed. Man, I'm going to tell you, look, now, of course, we've got a fairly large tide range right now, but it's bucking that north wind now. Yesterday was beautiful. I mean, yesterday it was in the 60s, and believe it or not, I don't know what happened to them, but the gnats weren't bad. But, you know, I guess to show a sign of the times and the economy that's going on the coast, I counted a total of 4 people fishing on side of the road yesterday. Now, spent a little time around that Bayou Thunder area, which is right at the mouth of Elmer's Island. And with that low water right at that tide change, there was a couple people fishing that bridge, and they were doing pretty well. I mean, it was stacked full of redfish. Now, they weren't all keepers, so some of them were undersized reds. But, you know, the side of the road is going to be the way to go right now. I mean, look, I'm just not that mad at them anymore. Maybe some people are, but you don't want to be out there in a boat today. I mean, winds gusting at 30 miles an hour out of the north, low tides, and they're going to get lower with that kind of wind. Muddy water that was beautiful yesterday, but it's all tore up now. You know, fishing those side of the road ponds where you got a little calmer water, you got deeper water, and it's going to stay cleaner. That's going to be your option around the Grand Isle area. And like you said, I know you've had some experience there. Is, you know, watch the traffic, make sure you pull far enough off the road, but, you know, just concentrate, slow down, and keep it near the bottom. Find out where those fish are staged, and you ought to be able to pull a few out of there.
You know, talking about the danger of that Highway 1 fishing off the side of the road like that, you know, I hate to bring up something that's a really sad story, but if it serves to save somebody's life, it's worth telling. But several years ago, I was going down there fishing, and the traffic was backed up for nearly an hour on Highway 1, and I found out later what had happened. There was a couple, an elderly couple that was fishing off the side of the road. The husband was on the right side. The wife was on the left side. She caught a big redfish off the bank, and she picked it up, and she was running across the highway to show it to her husband, and she was struck by a vehicle and killed there on the highway. And, you know, that has stuck with me for so long. And as often as I can, I want to warn people, if you're fishing off the side of the road on Highway 1, especially if you got kids that have a tendency to wander a little bit, be very, very careful, because that can be extremely dangerous. Those cars and trucks are going by there in excess of 70 miles an hour, and it's nothing nice. But it's a good place to fish, but you just got to be careful doing it.
Yeah, you know, and Don, look, I was going down that highway yesterday, and I started to snap a picture, because it's the epitome of what it should be. There was a dad on the side of the road, and, you know, you mentioned the kids. This little kid couldn't have been no more than 2.5-3 foot tall. I mean, he's a youngster, 5, 6, 7 years old. And, I mean, he to the point that he had to have both hands on the rod to hold it up straight. But, man, just seeing him sitting there on the side of the road fishing, that's what it needs to be. And, you know, kudos to the guys that bring the kids out there with them and start them early. But you certainly, you know, like I said, you certainly stand a chance of catching some out there right now, because I was watching redfish being caught yesterday. I mean, there wasn't a lot of trout involved, but they had plenty of reds. But, you know, this time of the year, you know, it's almost like that jubilee. It's holding water. It's a little bit deeper. It's going to stay warmer. It's going to congregate some fish. There's not a whole lot of bait. You don't need anything fancy, especially for the kids. You know, put them, you know, most of the catfish have migrated offshore. Put them a dead shrimp on the bottom. Something's going to end up eating it.
Yeah, and, you know, another opportunity could be, you know, the bridge down there in Grand Isle. You can fish off that bridge. Probably going to be a little breezy, but at least there's no traffic on the bridge that's now a fishing pier down there.
That is correct, and they're doing a lot of work on the west side of it. They've done a lot of work and improved the parking area. So it's that's another opportunity. That wind's going to be a little bit brutal on that bridge this morning, but it's definitely they're definitely got a nice arrangement there now.
Yeah, well, like one of our listeners texted me, said, this cold weather's refreshing. I remember July. So that's when you're out there. Think about fishing in July and August, and that makes it more bearable. Darryl, somebody wants to give you a call, get some info, maybe book a trip in the near future. Tell them how to get you.
Well, they can find me on your website at dondadgrossguy.com or realscreamers.com. Has a lot of, you know, a lot of the information they need on it. Or they can just pick up the phone at 225-937-6288.
All right, my friend. Have a good weekend. Stay warm. Talk to you next week.
Oh, I don't think I'm leaving the couch.
We'll see you then. There he goes, Captain Darryl Carpenter, realscreamers.com. All right, we come back. Well, let's see. We're going to be talking to Captain Mike Gallo. I don't know if he's still in pursuit of deer or if he's been trying to get some fishing. Yesterday was pretty nice on his area. It got up in this around 60 degrees, but that ain't going to happen this weekend. Paddler's Report with Brendan Bayard. If you like to get after the fish in the kayak, we'll also check in with Ryan Lambert. Get a recap as he closed out the duck season last weekend and what the future looks like for fishing down there with a very, very low Mississippi River down in the Delta. And, of course, your texts right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Yeah, welcome back on this chilly weekend, Saturday morning and Sunday. Going to be a small craft advisory across the coastal areas, so you don't want to be out on open waters for sure. There are some interior lakes and maybe some canals, bank fishing that you can do. Kind of stay out of that wind because it's going to be humping out there, and that adds to the chill factor. And temperature's not supposed to get really out of the 30s any time today, so it's going to be a chilly one out there. All right, we got text messages coming in. I got my buddy Rick from Slidell area checking in Lacombe. He's up in Oak Grove, Kentucky, visiting his grandson, Seth, where it's 14 degrees and the feel-like temperature is 1. Well, wish Seth some good luck and on his deployment that's impending. And he says he'll be looking forward to hunting the beady-eyed birds in a couple of months. Yeah, Rick and I, we've been chasing beady-eyed birds, I don't know, Rick, at least 20 years, huh? And we're going to still be at it again. We're about 2 months away from the opening of the season. All right, got some more text coming in. This one, it's an update on that Jefferson Lake Canal. I'm told now it is only accessible by boat and not by land, so scratch that. Up in Ohio, they call those snowstorms floricanes. Makes them more fun, if there's any fun in them at all. All right, of course, we got Sam talking about it ain't cold, it's refreshing. He remembers last July. I wonder if during July and August you think about these cold days in January, February, and you say, man, it's so nice to be able to wear cutoffs and a T-shirt and not have all this bundled-up stuff looking like what was the name of that little kid on Christmas Story? Randy, Ralphie's little brother. You know, he looked like the Pillsbury Doughboy. They had him so bundled up. And if you're going out, you better dress like that, too, because it's going to be chilly. All right, got this one in. Been listening to you for several years. Also listen to Captain Mickey out of Houston, but management took him off the air. Bad move. Just love your show. That's from the East Texas Aggie. Well, I've never heard Captain Mickey, but, you know, unfortunately, that's what happens. A lot of these shows are no longer on, and there's less and less of them. We're very fortunate. I think we are now at 37 years, the longest run. Actually, total before the network was about 41 years of continuous broadcast, and I think we are the longest-running outdoor show in America. All right, we got some more coming in. This one says, not many places to fish, on Highway 23 anymore. The areas that used to be fished by a lot of the public is closed due to people littering. Boy, I hate to hear that, you know. And when you go into areas that are still open, clean up your mess. I mean, if you drop something, or, you know, and a lot of times there's not waste canisters available to deposit your trash, but, you know, just put it in a bag and throw it in the truck and dispose of it later on, because it could lead to the place where you're fishing to actually be shut down. All right, let's see. We got this one in. Got update from Riley and I, a hunting trip in Alabama. 2 weekends ago, he took his first deer, a doe. Well, congratulations on that first deer. All right, here's one, Don. Was the park in Hammond on your list of stocked rainbow trout from the Big Man Bassin in Covington? Yeah, it's Zamurri Park is the name of it. It's probably one of the smaller areas. It's not a big area at all, but I tell you, I fished there. I haven't fished the rainbow trout there. I fished them at the Jennings Pond and the Breck Pond in Baton Rouge. But I did fish the catfish, the channel cats in Zamurri, and boy, I went home with a load of them too. Nice fat friable catfish, and the rainbow trout are going to be there too. And that is one of the places you can go fish today during this cold weather. And like I say, you've got the truck going to be parked close by, so if it gets too cold for you and the kids, go jump in the truck, warm up, and then get back at it. Bring you some little pop-up chairs, folding chairs to bring out there. Bring you a little ice chest and some maybe some thermos with some hot cocoa or coffee, especially if you got the kids with you. All right, we're going to be right back after this. Check in with Captain Mike Gallo. He's on Born on the Bayou guy. We'll find out what he's doing this weekend on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And when you hear that music, you know what's coming next. Captain Mike Gallo's report presented by CETO. And if you are not a CETO member, boy, I think of them this kind of a weekend with those small craft advisories, low tides, going to be mud flats, and I've seen some pictures of people getting stuck during last weekend. Don't be that guy that failed to call CETO and get signed up, because they'll bring you fuel if that's what your problem is, jump start electrical problems. They got to hook you up and tow you back to the dock or back to your launch. They'll be glad to do it. It's like having a AAA policy on the water. Peace of mind for you, and especially it's peace of mind for your loved ones who are worried about you when you're out there in these problematic conditions. So if you want to get signed up, Captain Chris will do it for you. One phone call is all it takes, 504-301-4545. Click CETO.com, and you can get more information and actually sign up there. Makes a great gift, too, for someone. CETO, check them out. Captain Mike joins us now. And Captain Mike, are you on a deer stand? Are you holding out for a midday fishing trip to sneak into some protected waters? Or are you just kind of chilling out by the fire?
I will be heading to the deer stand shortly.
Very good. What's the prospects?
Actually, a nice doe was harvested yesterday by one of the guys that I'm hunting with. And he's done. So I may go sit in the same stand he was in, and hopefully some good fortune will come my way, and we can send Double G some business.
Yeah, you've been after those deer now for a while, and it's getting time to where it's going to be closing out. How many more days they have in that area of Mississippi?
This is the last day.
That's it, huh? One more day, and that's it. Well, how have they done overall?
I think it's been a pretty good year. They had a lot of woods that were cut down, or I guess clear cut, so it's kind of confined the deer a little more in his area. So there's been quite a few of them. It's just a lot of small ones. That doe yesterday was about 125 pounds. So hopefully I see one like that, and we'll have some good sausage.
You know, I've been hearing a lot of stories from Alabama about their rut being on and deer. In fact, my daughter had a buck chasing a doe through her yard that's going on right now. Where are they on the rut in that part of Mississippi where you're hunting? Is it over, on the way out, or is it still going on prime time?
I think they told me it was on the way out.
Yeah.
They haven't seen as much activity. You know, there might be a few late bloomers, but they think it's on the way down.
Mike, any suggestions for people around the Slidell area that they just want to get out? They're going to wait for the sun to come up. It's probably going to not get anywhere over maybe high 30s today, and in most areas, low 30s. That's going to be the high temperature. Where might they be able to go and stay comfortable and not get in any trouble?
Well, some of the protected water, you'll obviously want to be on the leeward side where you're not fighting the wind when you try to cast. And also the leeward side is going to give you cleaner water. Areas like Gohegan's Canal, good deep water, a lot of current, and you'll be able to, you know, slow on the bottom is going to be the ticket. The hard part's to find them. Once you find them, they're usually kind of concentrated when the water temperatures get this low. So it's a lot of hunting, but once you find them, you usually can do pretty well.
Well, Mike, I can recall you and I fishing some of the canals there in, you know, the communities there. And they allow you to get in there and fish along some of the docks, and it's a little deeper water in there too. That might be a good opportunity for somebody that just got to put the boat in the water and go somewhere. That way you're safe, you're out of the wind pretty much, and you're out of the open waters.
Excuse me, that's correct. The other thing I would tell you is when you have high winds and cold temperatures, the best thing you can wear is a windbreaker. So if you wear cotton, your heat will go through the cotton, and the wind will blow your heat away. You want to keep your heat confined so that it keeps you warm. So a good windbreaker, pants, as well as a jacket is really the way to go. I always wear boots when it's cold. I certainly don't want my feet to get wet.
Yep, that's some really good tips for dressing. And, of course, you know, they got a lot of the Thinsulate, too, the material that not only blocks the wind, but it's also breathable. I got a pair of waders that are like that, and I don't understand how, you know, perspiration can go through to the outside, but yet water and wind can't come through the inside. I don't know how that works technologically, but that's some great stuff. And be prepared. You know, have good pair of gloves and, you know, maybe a knit cap under your hood and that kind of thing. Just dress for the occasion.
That's true. Bring an extra set of clothes and some towels in case you do happen to get wet, where you can dry off and change as quick as possible, because you just have to keep your core temperature up or things can really turn bad quickly.
You got a heater in that blind you're headed to?
There actually is a heater in that blind. I don't know if I know how to work it.
You'll figure it out. you will figure it out. Well, it's probably getting close to shooting time, so we're going to let you mosey on up to the deer stand, and hopefully you got some good news for us next week. And in the meantime, people can check you out. They go to my website, and then they link directly to yours, aaofla.com, if they want to give you a call. But don't call him till after the hunting hours this morning. Give him that phone number.
Easy to reach me. The best number is 985-781-7811.
All right. Good luck, Mike, on the deer. Hope you bag one, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, Don. We'll talk to you then.
All right. Coming back after this quick break, we're going to be talking to our paddling reporter, Brendan Bayard, the Minimalist Challenge. Everybody was looking forward to that today, but wisely they have decided to reschedule it. We'll get him to give us the details and also maybe some tips on catching some fish from the kayak in these extremely cold weather days. We're back right after this. You are listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Well, it's a safe bet there won't be a whole lot of stroking for the fish going out there today with the conditions we've got. Extreme cold, below freezing temperatures to start off with, not much above that for the high, a lot of wind hawking down along the coast, creating a small craft advisory, and kayaks are classified definitely as small craft. Our report is brought to you in conjunction with the Bayou Coast Kayak Club and also No Wake Outfitters. They are your local fly shop specialists. You find them at 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. Got some of the latest fishing tackle that's used in the local area. Paddle sports equipment, including the kayaks. They put on some fly tying and fly fishing classes, and I bet you they could help you find the right lure to catch some of those rainbow trout. You can check them out today. No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. Brendan Bayard joins us now, and Brendan, kind of a sad note, they canceled the Minimalist Challenge at Coco Marina for today, but it's going to be rescheduled, and I think that was a very wise move. How about you?
Yeah, I think it's not going to be any fun for anybody or safety concerns for today. You know, having 100 people launch together and spread out just not a good idea at all. So wisely rescheduled to March 7th. We should have plenty of time to, you know, hopefully get a little bit of warm weather coming back in. This last stretch of, you know, two weekends in a row has been brutal. So, you know, it's just one of those things. It's a tough lot, but wisely rescheduled.
Yeah, well, who knows? March 7th, it might be 75 degrees that day, and catch a much better thing. And wise decision for safety is the first concern on that. Well, for somebody that's going to be trying to stay close and stay dry as number one in a kayak, what can you suggest?
You know, right now, with the, you know, the wind and the low water, fishing those roadside pits that are along LA-1 between Fouchon and Grand Isle would probably be the safest way to go. There's always fish in there. You know, some of those places are, you know, 16, 17, 18 feet deep, and they're within, you know, 50 feet of the road. So you could bring your kayak there. You can cast from the bank, catch a few fish, and as the day warms up, you can get in your kayak and go a little bit further away from the bank. Probably the safest place that I would suggest fishing in a day with high winds and cold water and weather. You know, I've been out there when it's blowing 30 degrees and 20 or it's been blowing 30 miles an hour and 20 degrees when I was a little younger and dumber, and have caught quite a bit of fish. So I know they stack in there because the surrounding marshes drain. There's no water anywhere else. Those fish have to go somewhere. And they usually go into those deep pits, and they kind of stack up on top of each other. And sometimes it's like catching fish in a barrel.
Yeah, and of course you got to slow down your retrieve for sure, because the fish are not as active. And a lot of times it's not a feeding; it's just an instinct thing. And you got to put it on their nose and twitch it just a little bit, and they'll jump on it.
Yes, sir. So I know they've been catching them down there this week. The mornings, for whatever reason, have been better for the trout in those deep pits. You know, there's a little bit more throwbacks than at the beginning of the winter, I guess, because, you know, you fish a community hole and the bigger fish kind of get mined out, if you will, over time. But there's still plenty of fish in there, a little bit smaller average size than at the beginning of the winter. But the afternoon, I think once the wind dies in a couple of days, that's really been the ticket on this cold week we've had this week. The afternoons have been pretty good for the redfish in that same area. So looking forward to when this wind stops and this cold stops and we get a break, even into the, you know, 40s and 50s, I think those redfish will be a little bit more active.
You know, and on the freshwater side, you know, the freshwater catfish and the bass and the sockeye, they tolerate cold water much better, and there may be some good opportunities when that sun gets up to go into some of the state parks and put the kayak in and catch some fish there. We got a lot of them that have pretty good freshwater fishing.
Yeah, yeah, that is definitely a way. If you're a saltwater guy, might be the time of year to, you know, change and go fish some crappie and stuff right now for sure. That is definitely a good idea.
Very good. Well, Brendan, thanks for the report. We appreciate it. Try to stay warm, my friend. And, you know, actually, this will give people more time to do some scouting for that minimalist challenge coming up. Of course, you never know what baits they're going to give you. So you can kind of get an idea. They're going to give you certain types. But I guess that's be the best way to prepare for it, is bring several different types. You know, bring a topwater, bring a jig, you know, and maybe a spinner and things like that, and maybe try them out.
Yeah, I mean, it's usually a bunch of paddle tails and stuff, so, you know, I would definitely suggest practicing with some plastics, but, you know, I think whatever they give us, it's going to be able to catch some fish, I'm pretty confident in, and hopefully March 7th will be a much better weekend to be out there than today.
I don't see how it could be a whole lot worse. Thanks for the report, Brendan. We appreciate it, and glad you got older and a lot smarter.
Yeah, it takes me a while, but I'm getting there.
All right. We'll see you next time, Brendan. Thank you. All right. There he goes, Brendan Bayard, one of our field reporters. All right. We come back after this. I'm going to tell you how you can pick up a $6,000 cash reward for information leading to the killing of a bald eagle. Back with that. And we got this week's bad boy of the outdoors. He, because he didn't know or he didn't care, he was using a caliber illegal to hunt deer. We'll tell you his story, too, right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, if you like if you can use $6,000, well, you can get it if you have information about a bald eagle that was shot and killed in Vermilion Parish. The $6,000 reward is offered to anyone with information that leads to a conviction. And the Department of Wildlife and Fishery agents were notified back on December 5th at the intersection of Robert Road and Wilmer Road in Erath. And they picked up the injured bald eagle, brought it in for an examination. They determined that the eagle had suffered from a fatal gunshot wound and finally died from the injury shortly after. Now, anyone that has information regarding that illegal killing, call the Operation Game Thief Hotline. It's on your hunting and fishing license. That number, it's toll-free, 800-442-2511. Or if you prefer, use the TIP 411 program. You text LADWF and then the TIP to 847-411. Or you can download the free LADWF TIPS phone and iPhone and Android app. And then they, in an anonymous way, if you don't want to be identified, you give them the information. And if there is a conviction, they will get your $6,000. Now, the illegal shooting and killing of bald eagle is a federal violation. Penalties include a $5,000 criminal fine, $5,000 civil restitution. So that's $10,000 plus a year in jail is possible. If you got information, call them, turn them in, and get a $6,000 reward. And we'll have a future bad boy, too. All right, we got the today's bad boy coming up right after we pause a quick 10 seconds for our local stations to tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, our story begins with Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery agents Corporal Austin Anderson and Corporals Cody Salpietra on patrol on December the 12th. They responded to a call from the Lafourche Parish Sheriff's Office about a truck and disalmans. They had stopped and had fresh game in the bed. The agents responded to the scene. They found Harley Walker Jr. to be in possession of an antler deer, two rabbits, and four wild hogs. Hope he had a sharp knife. Well, it didn't matter anyway, because the agents seized the wild game and donated it to a local charity. Walker Jr. fessed up to harvesting the wild game from Port Sulphur with a 17 caliber rifle, which is illegally too small for hunting deer. You have to have at least a 22 caliber center fire, not a 22 rim fire or anything smaller. Now, on top of that, he didn't bother to have any hunting licenses. So, for hunting deer using illegal methods, which is the small caliber rifle, hunting without a basic hunting license, hunting without a deer license, failing to tag the deer, and failing to comply with harvest card requirements, now facing maximum criminal fines of up to $1,900 plus another $884 civil restitution for the payback value of the illegal deer and rabbits, plus possible 60 days in jail, is 46-year old enough to know better, Harley J. Walker Jr. of Raceland, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors. Yeah, you know, 17 caliber. I guess maybe, but you know, I was told I've never shot. I don't own a 17 caliber. Don't hunt with one. Don't shoot with one because it's pretty much limited to a varmint or a squirrel gun, small game. But I thought maybe he went with a light caliber because it wouldn't make as much noise since he was hunting at night. But I'm told that a 17 caliber makes more noise than some of the larger caliber rifles. Anybody have any experience with 17 calibers as far as sound? Text me, 504-260-1870 is our text line. I got a text back in from my buddy Rick, who's up there in Kentucky right now, and I was thinking that we had been hunting together at least 20 years. He tells me it was 33 years ago we went on our first turkey hunt at the Old Six, and we're still doing it together now. And, boy, how time flies when you're having fun. And believe me, turkey hunting is very much fun. All right, got some other texts coming in. Let's see. We got another update on the Captain Mickey show out of Houston. They took Captain Mickey off, and they put a show called Bite Me on. That's from Alton in Kentwood. What is Bite Me? I don't know what that show's all about. Is it a fishing show or something else? All right, we also have an update on rainbow trout fishing. This is Big E from Thibodeau. He caught seven rainbows at the Bayou Sports Complex in Houma. Nice day using a black rooster tail. He gave them to the other fishermen. Too many bones for me. Yeah, I know what you mean. They are bony fish, but it's pretty good meat. Now, he also did well fishing the bank, and here's another place, Point Ashen. You go down there, he caught a 20-inch red, two 14-inch speckled trout, and three sheephead. He cleaned them and gave them to his little sister. Very nice of you. Big E from Thibodeau, one of our regular listeners, and does a lot of bank fishing, and successfully, too, by the way. All right, we come back after this. We're going to catch up with Ryan Lambert. Let's see if we can get him to give us a recap on how his duck season went down there at the Cajun Fishing Adventures Lodge and what that less-than-2-foot river level means for fishing down there. We'll be back with Ryan right after this pause. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And let's check in with Captain Ryan Lambert, also known as our Plastic Man. And Ryan, kind of give us a recap on how your duck season went. I know you got affected by those negative tides, particularly in the second split. But comparing it to all the years in the past that you've been hunting down there, how would you rate this year?
You know, again, I think the lack of wind hurt us more than the lack of water, because we adjusted to the water and hunted in the evening, and we hunted further out. We did whatever we could. But the 80 degrees and lack of wind probably hurt more than anything. You know, we killed birds every day. You know, everybody had a great time. Fishing was great. So it was okay. Now, the last evening when that wind came through, all the guides went back out, and they put two boats together, and they had 10 of them that killed 60 birds in one blind.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, when those birds sit offshore, especially with all the pressure they have now, and they'll sit offshore in on the Gulf of Mexico on the west side, and they'll sit over here in Breton Sound, 10 miles offshore, to get, you know, they just sit out there. And then at night when the tide comes in, they come in. You know, just like deer, they get nocturnal with all the pressure. But when that wind blows, they got to come see me.
You know, I've been hearing that same story from not just South Louisiana or Louisiana, but also some neighboring states that, you know, our deer population has been forced nocturnal pretty much. I mean, the rut gets them moving the daytime. If you got a lot of feed and very little light pressure, you can get them out. And ducks are the same way. You know, they're flying at night. They're flying in after hours, before hours, and really becoming, educated, I guess. What species was that on that last day where they killed those 60? Birds. Was it a mix?
Lots of cans, pintails, gadwalls, green wings. Mm-hmm. That's about what made it up. It was a lot of birds. They was coming in 20 at a time. They were so excited.
Yeah, well, that's to be expected.
They had four dogs working nonstop.
Yep. Well, we got a river that's below 2 right now, and maybe even get, well, I don't know, maybe there's a rise coming. You keep a closer eye on it than I do. What's that going to mean for the fishing down there?
So the fish is going to stay great. The water is beautiful, and, you know, the bait's there. You know, good thing with all this coal, I'm glad the speckled trout are down in those passes and stuff where it's deep, where they'll be all right. The fish is going to remain wonderful. I mean, it's just been great. You know, they're catching tunas close, monster tunas, redfish, speckled trout, sheep, everything you want, fly fishing. It's just great right now. It just really is. It's going to stay like that for a while.
Yeah, I saw some pictures. I think Sarah was down there, and y'all were working over the red bull reds, and I guess she was using that fly rod, huh?
Oh, yeah, she's not going to fish with that fly rod. She loves that fly rod, that girl. She's in going to the Bahamas and Antigua the next couple of weeks. She just goes. Tori's fly fishing now too. She's eat up with it. So yeah, I got two of my girl guides just eat up with fly fishing, and they like to guide it. So it's a great thing. I mean,
talk about fly fishing guiding for fly fishing. How it's different than when you take people with rod and reels.
Oh well, if I got people with rod and reels, I could show them the pattern. I could show them the bite. You know, because I'm fishing too, but. When a fly rod, it's on them, you know, and it's very, very difficult because most people come from a background of stream and river fishing, and they can just throw a little cast, just, you know, 20, 30 feet, and they mend it, and it floats down the river, and the fish comes up and eats it. Whereas when you saltwater fishing, you have to see the fish, throw beyond the fish, and then bring your fly back in front of the fish and present the fly to him, and it's a whole different game. And I would think almost 90% of the people really struggle when they come do it for the first time.
You know, the thing that amazes me about fly fishing for those reds is how aggressive they grab it when you put it out in front of them, behind them. But when you throw it right close to them, it spooks them. They're scared to death of it. How can it be such a different reaction just because you're a little bit, a foot or two off on your cast?
And I tell people, don't throw to the fish. You know, and don't strip real fast towards the fish because he thinks he's getting attacked versus if you watch redfish coming down the bank, they're just scouring the bottom, and when a little shrimp, a minute's jump, boom, then they'll grab them. So you want to make it on their terms. So you want to get it in front of him, then strip to where he will be in the path, and then when he comes, just give it a little jump off the bottom just like a shrimp or a minnow would do, and boom, he's going to grab it so fast, make your head turn. But you can't attack him. You just can't attack the fish. You just let it do on his terms.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, that's one of the hottest things going is people want – I get questions from people out of state about catching bull redfish on a fly rod. They see it on TV. They hear about it. They want to do it. When is the best time for somebody to come down there and do it?
Goodness, when the river falls out in July, it's great. But the winter months, you know, October, November, December, January, February are the best because the algae falls out the water when it gets cold. The water's really clear. The bull reds are close in and in the marsh, so it makes it very easy to do. And the fight is just awesome. To watch that big, big sun going to come up and slurp that fly in, oh, it's great. I like
the sound that reel makes when that line is just pulling off of there is incredible, boy. If that doesn't get your blood going, music. You better check your pulse. You may not be alive.
Yeah, they'll burn your fingers up, too, because you got that index finger kind of controlling that line. Phew, you better have a glove on or something, because same thing with bonefish. They'll burn you up. I tell you what, it's a great sport. You know, everything we do in the outdoors is so wonderful. I mean, the duck hunting, you know, we killed over 4,000 birds this year, which is really, really good for having such a tough year. But my guys, they get it. They work very hard at it. And, you know, I got people booking like crazy right now for next year.
Yeah.
You know.
You got the best down there. Ryan, I got to tell you, I need to reserve a trip with you to do a casting blast next year. I was meeting with Sean Sullivan, who does an outdoor show on the station that carries this show in Alabama, FM 106.5. And he said one of his bucket lists is to go with you. So I want to bring him down there and we'll do a cast and blast because he's a real sportsman, loves to duck hunt, and also likes to catch fish too.
Well, we'll make that happen, and we're going to get you to Mexico. I'm going to Mexico in a little while. My season continues. I still got this trip, and I have one more trip after that because there's a ton of quail, and if this sighting nerve will let me go, I'm going to quail hunt. But we got a lot of wind, so this north wind is going to bring those redheads and pintails out of Texas and down into the Laguna Madre, so we ought to have a bang-up hunt this time.
Well, send me the next Mexican trips you got coming up because I'm going to make one of them for sure.
Yeah. You need to do a white wing trip and then a quail trip.
I'll do it all. Whatever's going on. Ducks, quail, doves, I'm all in.
You have to do two trips to do white wings. White wings early in the season, at August, September time frame, and I'll get you on that, and then we'll bring you back for the combo where you can shoot some quail. I mean, we're stopping at 50 quail a hunt right now. I mean, it's wild quail, too. It's just, it's wonderful.
Well, I'm going to brush up on my Spanish, my Espanol, and we'll head down. Of course, I got you. You're the perfect translator.
That's right. I got it. And everybody depends on me when we're down there. What do you say?
¿Cómo se dice en Espanol, Captain Ryan? Yeah, look. All right, my friend, give them your telephone number. Somebody wants to get in on fly fishing. Of course, duck hunting's over till next year, but they're booking already. And if they want to find out about you, really No Le Hace in Mexico, how do they reach you?
They can call me at 504-559-5111 or go to CajunFishingAdventures.com. It doesn't have No Le Hace on it because it's so exclusive. You know, it's very difficult to get in there. But just give me a call and we'll make it happen.
Right. We know somebody. All right, Ryan, we'll catch up with you next week, my friend. Have a good one.
All right, buddy. See you.
All right, that's Captain Ryan Lambert. All right, when we come back after this, we're going to wrap it up, get to some text message, and a very special announcement about this show. Stay tuned for it next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's catch you up on some of these texts that are coming in. We're hearing from our friend John Terrebonne with the Convent Hunting Club, where they do hunt rabbits. He says he has a 7-year-old son, Kai, with him on this frigid Saturday morning. They picked up his very first hunting dog this week in Mississippi. That's how you keep the next generation into the same tradition. My son hunts more than most adults. He's eager to learn, listens very well. My friends are honored to have him come along with us. He's learning more and more every year. Well, John, it sounds like Kai is hooked like the rest of it, and good luck to him, and hopefully he takes good care of that new beagle. All right, we got old man Sam says, looks like it's a log on the fire kind of day, and go in the kitchen and make deer jerky. Now, not a bad idea. This one says those bald eagles kill themselves. They do. I don't think they shoot themselves with shotguns. That's the work of an outlaw. And somebody says, thanks to the good citizen for reporting the outlaw and getting him busted. That was with regard to today's bad boy. All right, I asked about 17 calibers. Someone says it's like that popular car show. They are fast and they are loud. Good description. All right, here's one that says, you need more airtime. Captain Mickey was on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday early hours. He had good guests like you, informative. Here's one that says, I'm in my normal Saturday morning drinking spot, drinking my coffee spot. I don't hunt or fish, but I thoroughly enjoy listening to you in the program. That's Tim in Pascagoula. Well, Tim, thank you for that. That's one of the biggest compliments I can get when someone doesn't hunt or fish, but they find this show interesting and entertaining. All right, here's one that says, send me an email. I would like to send you some photos of my catches. I will do that, Elliot. I'll do that as soon as we get off the air. Before I grab my dog, Smokey, and load her in the truck and my shotgun and go woodcock hunting on this final day of woodcock season. But before we wrap up, a special announcement about the future of this show. Next week will be my last show. After 37 years, I'm hanging up the headset, but not the fishing poles, the rifles, and the shotgun. And we're going to have a sign-off show next week. It's going to be a special show. We're not going to concentrate on hunting and fishing reports. I want you to reminisce about the past 37 years that this show has been on. I want to do some on-air thank yous to our field reporters, to our very generous and loyal sponsors, and especially you, the listeners. Without you, the audience, this show would never have been on for 37 years. I have been on for 5 different decades, the 80s, the 90s, the zeros, the teens, and now the 20s. So next week, we'll be looking for your text. We'll let you open up the phone lines. I'm going to have a lot of people who have helped me along the way that deserve thanks. They're going to come on the air. We're going to talk about past shows, maybe tell us your favorite episodes, your favorite guests, some memories over the years that you've been listening. And I know a lot of you have been listening for a long, long time. I meet people who are men with their own children now, and they said they started listening as a kid when they were riding in the truck with their dad to go on the way hunting and fishing, and they've continued to listen all these years. It's been a very rewarding career. I'm so thankful for being allowed to do what I love, to earn a living, but it's just time for me to do other things. And like athletes sometimes do, you want to leave at the top of your game. And before things change and I become irrelevant and that type of thing, I think it's best to just end it and go on to do other things. Do some traveling, do some hunting and fishing in places that I've never been. Spend more time with my family. That's very important. And I always suggest you, when you go on hunting and fishing, do it with the people you love. Do it with your friends. Do it with your family. And it doesn't matter how many fish you catch, how many ducks you shoot. It's being together with them and enjoying these precious, precious natural resources. And always continue to take up the role of a conservationist and someone who promotes good hunting and fishing. And bring the kids into it. Bring the youth, your kids, and maybe their friends if they don't have someone. You never know who's going to get hooked on the outdoors and might be doing their own radio show for the next 37 years. I'm going woodcock hunting. See you next week for the last show on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.